Well, good morning, Brambleton. Today we're picking up our series called Bucket List. And the idea of a bucket list is pretty common in today's culture. It's the dreams we want to pursue, the people we want to meet, the top places we want to visit, or the things we want to learn, all before the saying goes, we kick the bucket. And a bucket list is a wonderful way to help us feel like we're living a meaningful life. We all know that having something to look forward to can help us when work feels mundane or life just feels really routine. A bucket list can be very motivational. But as we all know, people can check everything off their bucket list. They can get to the end of their bucket list and still not be happy. Some of the people that we assume have it all together with a great appearance or a successful career or lots and lots of friends, they still struggle to erase what is hard in their lives. A bucket list, whether you have one or not, is not enough to help us live with hope. No matter how beautiful and promising your bucket list appears, there's still going to be a lot that's hard in this world. On our journey, there's going to be times of drought and despair. There's going to be treacherous terrain. There are going to be dangerous storms that wreak havoc on our lives. And what we know as Christians is we're not meant to face life alone. God wants to help us. God is the one who gives us hope in uncertainty, and he gives us comfort through the storm. The Bible is full of stories about how God comes alongside us to offer us comfort and peace, and even some practical tools to help us on life's journey. And that's what this series is all about, spiritual practices to help us navigate difficult situations. And so far, we've talked about the following. Pastor Will was here, and he talked about identifying your gifts. And then Pastor Elizabeth talked about following the right guide. Know who you're following on the journey. And then the last time we gathered, it was about unleashing the power of prayer. And so this week, we're going to look at managing our anxiety. And gosh, just saying managing our anxiety may even cause some anxiety. I know for me, I'll be honest, when Pastor Elizabeth told me I'd be speaking about managing anxiety, I got kind of anxious. I just thought, like, what do I have to say about navigating anxiety? I struggle with it just as much as the rest of the world, and I can tell you, I know exactly what anxiety feels like in my body. It's this pit in my stomach. It's a heaviness on my shoulders. And for me, it can feel like this buzzing in my mind where I just can't think, and it just seems to not go away. And so what I want you to know is I've grown very familiar with my own triggers. I've spent hours working with professional counselors and therapists navigating my own anxiety. And so while I'm no expert on managing anxiety, what I can tell you is I'm a woman who's grown to be an expert at managing her own anxiety. And it's comforting to know I'm not alone. According to the National Institute for Mental Health, there are over 40 million people over the age of 18 that suffer from some anxiety-related disorder. And those are just the people who've been diagnosed or whose symptoms fit into a pre-described condition. Millions more people go undiagnosed. And so the first step to managing our anxiety is to take time and recognize we all struggle with anxiety. In fact, anxiety is a normal and essential part of our hardwiring. So anxiety can feel really bad. It's actually there to protect us. According to scientists, the feeling of anxiety is your body's natural stress response. You see, when your fight or flight is triggered in your brain, your system is flooded with chemicals. Norepinephrine and cortisol begin to help you get a boost in your perception, and you get increased reflexes and speed. Your body turns its attention to full survival mode. And ideally, it'll shut down once the threat has passed, and then your body just goes back to normal. So anxiety can be a really good thing. We want our fight or flight to be triggered when it's appropriate. Like, say you were hiking in the woods and you came face to face with a bear or a snake or some weird bird. You'd want to kind of be on guard. Or more commonly for us who procrastinate, anxiety helps fuel us and motivate us when we're working on a deadline or procrastinating on a school project. Anxiety can be really helpful. But anxiety becomes a problem when those instincts are turned on constantly. And that's how you know you're struggling with an unhealthy level of anxiety. It's when your thinking patterns reinforce every event in your life as a threat. It's the fear and frustration and doubt that seem to never, ever go away. You may feel anxious for no reason at all. And so with that said today, I want you to know if you're struggling with an unhealthy level of anxiety, you are not alone. There are ways to get the support and the help you need to walk in freedom. And so I'm going to make myself available after the service if you'd like to talk to me privately, and we can even pray together. And another option is on your connection card, you can just make a note, and Pastor Elizabeth is the only one who sees these cards, and she'll be happy to reach out to you when she's back from her trip. And so with that, let us take a minute to pray. God, we just take a moment and we pause and we think about who you are. You're our creator. You're our savior. You're the God who knit us together in our mother's womb and who knows us so well. And so, God, we thank you that we can trust you. We can trust you that no matter comes our way in our lives, to help us, to come alongside us. And so we thank you that we're not alone in our struggle. And God, I pray for anyone here today that is navigating a paralyzing state of anxiety, that you would speak to their heart today and give them the resources they need to move forward. We know that you love us and that you see us and that you want to set us free. Be with us now, in Jesus' name, amen. So I brought with me some laundry. Does this look familiar to anybody? What if I said the words spark joy? Okay, some nods. So this is the Marie Kondo folding method of Greg's t-shirts. I thought that would just help a little bit, but I've also got a short little clip. So this is about 30-second trailer of Marie Kondo's new Netflix series, and it's also from her book, The Art of Tidying Up. So for those of you who are not familiar, I thought this would get us all on the same page.
Hello, I'm Marie Kondo. 私のミッションは片付けによって世界をときめかせていくことです。
Let's start tidying. Okay, let's go.
This girl's no joke.
We have too much stuff.
It's not as easy as I thought it was gonna be.
I am going to figure out what sparks joy in my life.
I'm just seeing and looking at things completely from a different perspective.
New day, new joy.
I hope you know how much this means to me.
Moment of truth.
Here we go.
But this is Marie Kondo. She has started an entire movement of helping people spark joy in their lives by managing the physical mess in their homes. Specifically, she looks at the clothes and the books and the paper, the sentimental items, or just the miscellaneous stuff in your garage. And she's got a system for going through each of these things. It's become known as the KonMari method, and it's simple. You work your way one category at a time. You bring all your clothes into your bedroom, and you try it on, or you hold it in your hands, and you ask yourself the question, does this spark joy for me? If it does, if it sparks joy, you fold it neatly. She's got some really great methods on how to do that. Then you find a place for it. She uses lots of tiny little boxes to organize drawers. And if it doesn't spark joy, then you donate it or get rid of it. And so there's a little more to it, but that's the main idea. So this fall, I got inspired. I heard this term spark joy, and I thought, yeah, I'm on board. I'm going to do this. So I took all my clothes out, put them in my bed, tried them on, went through them all one by one, organized them by color, folded everything. And then, you know, I wasn't done. I thought, well, I should go through someone else's things, right? So while Greg was at work, I started going through all of his belongings, and let's just say a lot of Greg's clothing did not give me joy. I emptied his entire t-shirt drawer. He came home and he's like, where are they? But if you watch the show or you listen to her book, you're going to find out that one of the number one reasons in her thing is that you actually aren't supposed to do anybody else's clothes. You're only supposed to do your things. So don't use this as an excuse to go home and start going through your kids' or your spouse's belongings. It's really just you. So as I've watched the show or I've been learning about it, what I've noticed is that not everyone started the journey of tidying up with that spark joy feeling. You may even heard a little bit of it in the clip where someone said, this is really kind of hard. So it turns out managing your belongings can actually be overwhelming and anxiety-producing. But what I know is that people have successfully completed the entire process. They do share that they feel more peaceful and calm and well, joyful. It seems that creating space in your closets and your drawers and clearing the floor can make you feel more at ease in your home. The white space is actually quite refreshing. Well, research has shown that when there is order and clarity and a plan, people tend to express feeling more rested and restored. But when a space feels disorganized or cluttered or full of unfinished projects, people reported feeling fatigued and depressed. You see, we are healthier and happier when there is a plan. So that's why when the mess of our lives overwhelms us, we are designed to need a plan to move forward. And so that's the good news for us today. God has not abandoned us in our mess. He has given us a plan for managing our anxiety. Philippians outlines a clear three-step process of what to do when the storm of anxiety strikes. And it's this. Pause to pray. Give thanks. Receive peace. Pause to pray. Give thanks. Receive peace. Will you say it with me now? Pause to pray. Give thanks. Receive peace. Our text is from the book of Philippians, and it's the last of the four prison epistles or letters that the missionary Paul wrote. The tone of the letter is actually quite genuine and personal, and he's writing to update his friends in the church for their financial and prayer support on his journey, which has not been easy. He's also wanting to encourage the believers to keep their faith in Jesus no matter what comes their way. So even though Paul is on trial, potentially facing death, writing from prison. I mean, literally, one hand is chained to the wall as he's writing. He shares that he's able to live with peace. Listen to how he concludes his letter to his friends. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now at last that I have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, Paul is teaching us that we can't handle life's difficulties on our own. We need help. In our struggles, God is the one who makes us strong in the storm. Let me give us this image. So I've got a little Lego man in here. And anxiety is like this. The storm comes. Everything gets stirred up. We feel like we're being tossed back and forth by the waves. Our minds turn to cyclical worry. We struggle to sleep. It feels dark and hopeless. But if we stop, take a deep breath, and then reach out to God in prayer, he will make us strong in the storm. You see, things begin to settle, and God's plan becomes a little clearer. And I'm going to leave this here, and over time what we're going to see is that the water actually does get more clear. By looking at God, we can see him at work in our lives, no matter our situation. And we start to turn from uncertainty and fear to seeing the mystery of God at work. And it may not make sense, but God mysteriously calms the storm of our anxious thoughts, and he gives us peace. With God, even if we don't know the path or the way forward, we're able to be content in our circumstances. That's what Paul knows. His peace is not dependent on his circumstances. I mean, he's in prison, facing trial and potential death. He has an uncertain future. Paul knows anxiety. But through prayer, he faces his faith in a good and loving God, a God that offers comfort and longs to give us peace, even in the worst of our circumstances. When we follow God's plan to pause to pray, to give thanks, to receive peace, it sparks joy in our lives, even in the hardest circumstances. And while no one here today is in a physical prison, I think we all know what it's like to experience the chains of anxiety. Occasional anxiety is an expected part of life. Everyone struggles with worry and nervousness or unease about situations and relationships. And I'm sure you know the feeling in your body. It might be a tight sensation in your stomach or a heightened sense of awareness around you. It could be a fear or dread. You might feel anxiety when you're faced with a problem at work or school or before taking a test or making an important life decision. And we all know that mental health concerns are on the rise today. We are living in an age of profound anxiety. Even just this week, many here in the D.C. area found themselves on edge, holding our breaths on February 14th as we waited to see about a government shutdown. Anxiety and uncertainty are a part of life. But what's important to remember is that anxiety is a natural human response. You can't just make it go away. Don't try to suppress it or will it away. That's like expecting your body to not get hungry after not eating for a few days. You will get hungry. Anxiety will come. It's normal to be anxious, and it's a necessary emotion that's there to protect us. What we need to do is to learn to cope. And positive thinking is just not going to work. We need something outside ourselves. And that's why God has given us a plan. You don't have to be controlled by your anxious thoughts. Let me read again the plan that God has outlined in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is God's plan for navigating the storm of anxiety. Pause to pray, give thanks, receive peace. I know for me, it's tempting to move right into problem solving or just ignore anxiety altogether. I mean, I think we can all agree that anxiety doesn't feel good. But what we need to do is resist the urge to isolate and face it alone. God wants to help us. When anxiety comes, what we must do is connect to God in prayer. What our soul needs more than an answer to our problem is to be reminded that we are not alone. God is with us. Pausing to pray connects us to God. And as we pray, God strengthened us through our faith in Jesus. God gives us a constant and renewed strength so that we're able to live with peace. Friends, God wants to give you what you need. He is with us in our anxiety. The next step is to take a moment to give thanks. And what this does is it shifts our intention from what's missing in our lives or what's wrong to see all the wonderful things that God has given us. It's hard to be anxious when you're looking for what is right and good and beautiful in your world. So look for signs of new growth in life. In the mess of your life, there's always something new and growing. Maybe make a list of all the ways that God has been providing for you. Or write a letter to somebody and thank them for their impact on your life. And at night, if you find yourself unable to sleep, which I think for a lot of us with anxiety, that can be when it strikes the hardest, simply just take time to thank God for your bed, or to think about the people in your home who love you. Or maybe it's just the companionship of your dog or your cat. But don't stop until you find something. Nothing is too simple or too small. Give thanks. And finally, receive peace. You may even open your hands or take a moment to breathe in the word peace. God offers us peace. We just need to accept his gift. And know that the peace that we receive may not make sense, especially if you were to go through the list of all the trials and concerns that you have. It may not just make sense. And if we think of Paul, he had every reason to be anxious. He was trapped, facing trial. Many of his needs were being neglected. He had a future of uncertainty, and yet God gave him peace. God's ways are mysterious, and the peace that he offers is too. It may not make sense, but God will give you peace. So let me wrap up with this story. On a seminary, one of my first pastoral care visits was with a woman who had been homebound for over 10 years. And before she found herself bedridden, she had a bucket list kind of life. She was at the top of her career. Money was no longer a concern. And she was able to travel wherever and whenever she wanted. Money, power, influence, she had it all. Or she thought she did. When the storm of health concerns hit her body, she found herself living a life that she never would have dreamed. As her body slowly shut down, and she found herself with less and less mobility until she was eventually paralyzed from the neck down, bedridden. And as I think about all that this woman had lost, the ability to walk, her career, she couldn't feed herself or shower, you'd think that she would have been a really difficult person to visit. But the exact opposite is true. She was a pure delight. God had given this woman strength to face her challenges, and her faith helped her see the goodness around her. In the mess of her life, she was constantly looking for beauty and giving thanks. Next to her bed were her favorite things on her nightstand: her woman's Bible, a stick of red lipstick, and a bag of Dove dark chocolates, which of course she offered me when I visited. So when I'd come, we'd sit and we'd visit about her, and she'd share stories of the people who we loved, like her nieces and her friends, or who had been in to visit her this week. And then I'd simply read a passage of scripture and we'd pray together. And one day, as I was leaving, I commented on how beautiful the roses were on her dresser. And she quickly insisted. She said, "You must take one. You should have one. They are as beautiful as you are. May you always know how lovely you are." So in my visits with this woman, it was never about her trials or her health concerns. She was a woman that had found incredible peace through her faith in Jesus. She lived out our passage for today. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. As Christians, it's possible to have hope no matter what you're going through. When life storms come, and they're gonna come, health concerns, financial troubles, relationship issues, concerns at work, whatever causes you anxious thoughts, remember, you are not alone. God has given us a practical plan to be peaceful, calm, and content. And it's this: pause to pray, give thanks, receive peace. When we seek God in faith, He will give us peace. Every single time, God offers us peace. Even if it doesn't make sense, God will give us peace.